You're with SBS Radio.
Hi, Shane.
Hi, Amir. How are you going?
All good here, and let's hear from you. What's news and what is making this week's headlines of this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News?
Yes, well, Australians are involved in the International Holocaust Remembrance Day, which will mark 75 years since the liberation of Auschwitz. Sydney Shoah survivor Yvonne Engelmann is flying to Poland, where she will attend the ceremony at Auschwitz-Birkenau, a place she refers to as a place of true hell. And she was actually incarcerated in Auschwitz in 1944 and was the sole survivor of the Holocaust from her family. So traveling back there for this occasion, it will be probably quite daunting, but it's something she said she must do. She's a long-term volunteer and guide at Sydney Jewish Museum, and accompanying her will be President of the Australian Senate, Scott Ryan, as well as Australia's ambassador to Poland, Lloyd Broderick, and several Jewish communal leaders from Australia. So Engelmann told us, while Auschwitz is a place of true hell, even today it must never be forgotten and should always remain as a historical record of what can happen in society. She said, my whole life was turned upside down. She lost her family. She was the only survivor, but she vowed to survive, and she promised her father that when she last saw him. She says the only way to perpetuate the memory of the 6 million Jews murdered is to tell our stories and make sure that the second and third generations keep our memory alive. Senator Ryan told us, the liberation of Auschwitz represents the beginning in exposing the horrors and depravities of the Holocaust to the entire world. And he said it was a privilege to represent Australia at this important commemoration, particularly given that the high number of Holocaust survivors who subsequently made Australia their home. And the Executive Council of Australian Jewry's Deputy President, Robert Goot, is also going to attend the ceremony. He said the event will honour the millions of sacred dead, possibly for the last time in the presence of a remnant of survivors. He said it will serve as a powerful statement by world leaders to recognise once again the unprecedented evil of Nazism and to collectively resolve to confront anti-Semitism, even as physical and verbal attacks on Jews are still occurring in Europe, America, and Britain and elsewhere. Meanwhile, in Israel, Australia's Governor General David Hurley arrived there last week with his wife Linda, where they met with the President of Israel, Reuven Riflin, ahead of his visit to Australia next month. And last Thursday, they also joined more than 45 world leaders at Yad Vashem in Jerusalem to mark World Holocaust Forum. He said to us, the importance of remembering and reflecting on the atrocities of the Holocaust has not diminished in the 75 years since Auschwitz was liberated. And he said, we remember and reflect both to honor the victims, the millions upon millions of lives lost and their families destroyed, but also to learn so that we remain vigilant to ensure this darkest chapter in history never repeats.
And it is also important to mention that this was the first time that so many leaders from different countries have accepted President Rivlin's invitation to visit Israel and participate in this event for this International Memorial Day, which happened 75 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And on such a big occasion, it's hard to believe it's been 75 years to this day since Auschwitz was liberated. 75 years, definitely a time to come together around the world and to just think and reflect upon what happened in society, and you know, understand that without vigilance, it could happen again somewhere in the world.
Absolutely, and well said. And staying on the same subject and anti-Semitism, what are the latest updates from last week's story about the Nazi flag which was raised on top of a private house in a small town in rural Victoria?
Yeah, so listeners might recall that last week we spoke about a Nazi flag being raised in a house by a resident of a small town in Victoria, in rural Victoria, called Boola. Now, what's happened since was the flag has been taken down, but the community there of the town have come together, 60 of them, at a rally, waving colorful flags from different nations around the world, including the Israeli flag. And they've also launched at this event a petition calling on the Victorian government to ban public displays of swastikas. And so far, in this short time, they've already gathered more than 200 signatures.
Wow.
Among those alarmed by the flag incident last week, the week before, was an 83-year-old Holocaust survivor from Hungary who lived on the other side of the street and whose family was murdered at Auschwitz. The former Melbourne resident, who does not want his name known, retired to this small town of Boola, where he's lived for the last 20 years. He said, after the flag was removed, following the intervention of local police and the council, he's been heartened by the support of other residents in the town. Of course, there's still no laws in Victoria that prevent this happening again. Also at the rally was MP for Caulfield, David Southwick, who said the petition states that the flag incident demonstrated the pain, anger and division the public display of a swastika causes. Addressing locals there, Southwick said, as a state MP that has one of the largest Jewish communities in Australia in his electorate, and as a proud Jew, this incident hit particularly close to home, but we've been greatly encouraged to witness such an overwhelming positive response from the Boola community. Meanwhile, Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews described flying of the swastika flag in the town as disgusting, and the incident has actually since been reported as far afield as the New York Post and UK's Daily Mail. So the word is this incident is capturing headlines around the world.
And this just proves us that no matter how small or remote the town is, we suddenly discover how people are very aware to anti-Semitism, and no matter what shape or form it takes, it should be reported immediately. Also, with that particular couple who had the flag on their house, they thought they are not doing anything wrong, right?
Yeah, look, it was a couple who apparently only moved to the town about 12 months ago. And there've been various other reports about them. At first, they refused to take the flag down, and they were not responsive to any of the fellow residents' needs, even after some of them knocked on their door and asked them and pleaded with them to put the flag down. Eventually, they did, apparently after police came and also encouraged them to take the flag down because it was causing offence. It looks like they either chose not to or they ignored the hurt that was being caused.
Yeah, anyhow, good end results. And let's move on to the next topic, and now to Amazon, which is selling a book called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, and the Jewish Board of Deputy responds.
Yeah, so the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies CEO Vic Alhadef has described Amazon's defense for selling the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is, you know, one of the most anti-Semitic books ever published. He's described its release through Amazon as ranging from appalling to mind-boggling. He wrote to Amazon Australia last week after seeing a number of controversial titles for sale, including the Protocols, and also one anti-Semitic publication called The Jewish Hand in the World Wars. He wrote to them, by providing a platform for individuals to buy and sell such flawed and racist texts, Amazon is in fact contributing to the deeply concerning global increase in anti-Semitic incidents which we are currently witnessing. Now, on its side, Amazon replied to Mr. Alderheff that the Protocols listing had mistakenly omitted an editorial note providing context on why the book was for sale, and that, quote, as a bookseller, we believe that providing access to written speech is important, including books that some may find objectionable. We are mindful of a global history fraught with book censorship, and we do not take this lightly. The Vic Alterhof has noted that Amazon itself readily acknowledges that the Protocols book is one of the most infamous examples of racist propaganda ever written, and it blatantly promotes anti-Semitism and persecution of Jews. And despite all that, Amazon asserts that providing access to written speech, no matter how hateful, is important. So he is calling on Amazon to remove the listing of those two, in particular, anti-Semitic books, and publicly take a principled stand against the escalation of bigotry around the world.
Interesting. Shane, to finish off, let's hear some good news for a change. And fortunately, there are some.
Yes. There's a Sydney resident who has just turned 100, and he is a very active member of the COA, which is a sort of an activity and community service in Sydney for elderly Jews. So Hertz Friedman is the birthday boy. I went to the party, actually, and he wasn't just sitting down and chatting and mingling around. He was actually got up and danced to music, which is, and he was just buzzing, and he didn't even look a day older than 80. So I asked him, you know, what's the secret to longevity? And he just smiled and said, with a cheeky grin, you know what, I often ask people, other people, the same question. He still drives and lives independently in Bondi. He receives just a few hours of assistance each week from Jewish Care and COA, and he still cooks lunch every Sunday for his two sons.
It's heartwarming to see someone like that full of life. And during your time at the AGN, Shane, have you came across with other Jews who made it to 100?
I have, but it doesn't happen very often. It's probably more happening these days than maybe 20, 30 years ago when it was extremely rare. So it's happening more these days, but there's quite a bit of difference, I guess, between 100-year-olds, you know. But Hirsch is bouncing around. He's able to. He's physically still well, which is a blessing. Some people's health don't allow them to still be so active. But look, if you've still got it, why not?
Well, let me tell you, they are still reading the Jewish news and listening to SBS Radio. That's the secret.
That must be it.
That's it.
That must be one of the secrets.
Shane, before we go, one more good news. We are already in the mood, so go for it.
And lastly, UIA, which has a major gala event in Sydney, Melbourne and Perth each year, has just confirmed another star will be featuring. We already know that Israeli President Reuven Rivlin is on the keynote speaker list. He'll be speaking in Sydney and Melbourne. Tzipi Livni, the Israeli politician, will be the headline speaker at UIAWA's gala dinner in Perth. And we can just reveal now that well-known world music and Israeli musician Idan Reichel will be coming to Sydney at the UIA event in Sydney as part of the entertainment mix. He is well known around the world for more than a decade, and he's amazing to see live on stage.
Great, can't wait to see and hear from all of them. Shane Ziatnik from the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much. Have a great day and speak to you next time.
Oh, thank you very much. You too. Have a great time.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.